And we are in John chapter 11. Each chapter is so unique and great about John. I always want you to remember, I always repeat it, you know the purpose of John. You don't always know the purpose of every book of the Bible and try to figure it out. But John tells us at the end of his book, chapter 20, that he wrote to prove, and you all know this, that to prove, that's why he wrote, to prove that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. That's why he wrote. So everything revolves around. So when you say, why doesn't Larry talk about this, this, and this? I will get to that other books. Right now, we're focusing on that Yeshua is God. We're talking about his being the Messiah, God. And that if you believe, you will have eternal life. So we're in John chapter 11. It's a great, great chapter. Each chapter almost stands on its own. This is a great chapter. And I was going over this chapter throughout the week, I was thinking, you know, they used to say there's only two things for certain that we know. Everyone, you know what those two things are, right? What? Death and taxes, right. That's what they say. I like to say there's a third thing. We don't like it, but there's death, taxes, and trouble. There's trouble. We always have trouble. We have difficulties. We have problems always come up. There's with the problems, of course, as I always used to tell my children, because sometimes there's good times, there's bad times. There's always change with those troubles. When things are good, enjoy. When they're bad, reflect and realize that there will be changes. The book of Job, we don't have it up top, but I was thinking of it, so I added this. For it says in Job chapter 5, 7, for a man is born for trouble, as sparks fly upward. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but we have troubles. There's always troubles in this world. But we should realize as believers that we also have a God who is in control. When I first became a believer, I remember when I first accepted the Lord and I started meeting with all the believers, I was all excited. Everything's great now. Everything's perfect. That's what I thought. Everything's smooth. God answers prayer. There's no troubles. There's no problems. You know, when you're a baby believer, God answers those prayers right away. He really, at least he did for me, a lot of them. Then all of a sudden one day, he stopped. He slowed down. He started to say, hold on. I got some things to teach you. And usually we learn best through problems, through struggles. And so God, things weren't so smooth. But we know as believers, we have the assurance of things like Exodus, follow along, Exodus chapter 14. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Of course, there was fear there because they came out of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea there, and God had delivered them. They were rejoicing. Then all of a sudden they turn around, and they see the chariots of Pharaoh and Egypt, and they knew they were goners. This is really difficult. And the message, one message, is that us as believers, God speaks to us, he delivers us, then we get new troubles. We always see that throughout the scriptures. God builds us up, encourages us, answers the prayer. But there's new troubles. Listen, we will always have troubles as sparks fly until... Okay, good. Until we see him, we're going to have trouble. Moses said, don't fear. Stand by. See the salvation, deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. We understand. In the midst of trouble, it's hard sometimes when you're going through that to say things will change, God will answer, God will deliver, because he doesn't do it like you and I want him to. We have that trouble. He's got to answer it now. Doesn't he understand my problem? I mean, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 20. Great, great king, one of the best in Israel's history, Jehoshaphat. Serve God, send out Bible teachers to all the land. There's revival in the land. He's getting rid of the idols. He's celebrating Passover. He's teaching the people the Bible. Everything's good. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, comes an enemy. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2, Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, which is another word for Syria. And behold, they're in Hazazon Tamar in En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat, he himself, the great king, was afraid. I mean, listen, we're human. I don't like when people say, you know, fear is of the devil and you're not spiritual. Listen, we're human. There's fear when things happen, when things go wrong. Jehoshaphat was afraid, turned his attention to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Verse 12, one of my favorite verses. Just always learn it, memorize it, always hold on to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. O our God, here's our prayer. Will you not judge the enemy? We didn't attack them years ago when we came up from Egypt. Take care of them. Will you judge them? For we're powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. I mean, that's a good prayer for all of us when our struggles. Lord, we're powerless. I don't even know what to do. But my eyes are focused on you. Oh, man. Amen. Let's go. That's all we need. My eyes, that's our eyes, and it's hard. I try to tell people many times when you're going through the trouble, it's hard. You have to force yourself alone during the day. Focus on him. Try to get off the problem. It is so hard. My eyes are focused on you. So all Judah, verse 30, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children, just quiet, waiting to hear from God. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out, face them, for the Lord is with you. God is with us. We have troubles. We have problems, real problems. Don't make light of it. There is no exceptions. There's no exemptions. If you're in it with the Lord, you will struggle. You will have problems. As sparks fly upward, we will have them. We know we can trust the Lord. He will not answer like you and I want. I can guarantee that. God does not do it in our style, our way, our time, our plan. Never. Because he's unique. We think short-sighted, human. He doesn't. And so, when we look through this passage in John, I sort of summarize it. And in your outlines, you have it there. We should learn to or trust and serve God is what we're called to do. You trust God, it's hard. You serve God through the difficulties because he provides for and he can deliver us. He provides for you, that's his promise. He can deliver you, he will deliver you in his way, not your way. So what do we do? Well, we should trust him and we should serve him no matter what the problems are. Well, Larry, you don't know my problems. Yes, I do, yes, I do. Because all our problems, not to make light of your problems, they're common to man. The problems you have today, someone else has had before. We see the problems in the scripture. God is there. He cares. He loves us. He will deliver and answer your prayers in his way and time. So follow along with me now. First, we see in the passage, John 11, our lives are filled with problems and difficulties. Tests, trials, problems. One passage in the scripture bugs me. A lot of passages bug me, but this one really gets me. Genesis chapter 2. It's not going to be up there. Genesis chapter 2, chapter 22, verse 1. It says this, and after these things, God tested Abraham. Come on, Lord. Abraham's maybe, they're not 120, 130. After these things, what it's really saying, after his whole life, he's old. He's getting ready to retire. And it says, and now after these things, no, what that's telling me is it will never stop, folks. The graduation is when we go to be with him. But after these things, you get delivered and you think, I can breathe. Yes, you can. I don't know how for how long. Because God will send another problem. You have to graduate to the next grade. And God will give us problems. Abraham was tested. Follow along. Problems came, and this is, I like when I was reading through this. Problems came, not just to the enemy and the wicked and the bad. Problems came to Yeshua's friends. They're our friends. I don't want to give my children and my friends problems. Problems came to Yeshua's friends. They came to his followers. They came to his apostles. They came to his friends. They came to his children. Problems come to all people, good and bad. The sun rises on the good and the good and the bad. Rain comes on the good and bad. God, problems come to everyone. John chapter 11, follow, we begin. Now a certain man was sick. This is not just any man. This is a special man. And John is writing, and he's trying to give us a message here, folks. And he's trying to tell us, now problems, he says, a certain man was sick. Not just any man, but Lazarus. Well, who was Lazarus? Not just any man, Lazarus. Of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, Yeshua, God, loves all people. Good and the bad. Righteous and the unrighteous. God loves all people. But, I don't know how to put it. There seem to be some special people in Yeshua's life, in his life. We certainly see that his mom is special. We know that. But then there's the apostles. Well, they were special. I mean, not all the people went with him. He went with the apostles some places. Then, not just all the apostles. Then he had the three. There was three. They were special too. I mean, can you imagine? How would you feel if you're part of the 12 and then the Lord says, I have to go somewhere. Peter, Jacob, John, could you come with me? Wait a second, Lord. Wait. What about us? No. The Lord had special people in his life. I'm not saying he loved them more than anyone else, but they were special and unique people. And God and Yeshua had special relationships with them, the 12, with others, with all people. So these were special people. And John is trying to tell us this. John is telling this was a special family. Lazarus, Mary, Martha. It was the whole, it was the Mary who was anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Well, in the next chapter, which we're going to get to in 2026, we're going to find out who some of these people were. This woman, Mary, who she was. She was unique. We're going to see that, Mary, because when they gathered after he does the miracle of raising Lazarus, they gathered in the house a little while for meal. And when they're there, Mary anoints the Lord's feet. And it says, with ointment, with a perfume. Well, this wasn't a normal perfume, folks. When you study it, you'll find out. This perfume for this amount of bottle cost about a year's salary. A year's salary, 300 denarii. She broke it and wiped the feet. Now, of course, we know the story that Judas complained and tells us because he wanted the money, but she had a special, unique relationship with the Lord. She loved him incredibly. And we're going to see that in just a minute. And so the sisters, the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Yeshua saying, Lord, behold, whom you, he whom you love is sick. I know the Lord loves everyone. But John is telling us, unique relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. His hand is on them. Maybe when he's not with them, the people said, your special family, you love them. You have a special, unique relationship with them. We see the story, John 12. Yeshua, we're going to get there eventually, but today we'll look at it just briefly. There, Yeshua therefore said, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Yeshua had raised from the dead. Now, chapter 12 is just referring back to what we're reading today, chapter 11. And it says, so they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. So a lot of people there, and Martha's serving. We know she serves, which we'll see in a minute. Mary's there, sitting at his feet, worshiping him. Lazarus is there telling everybody, I was dead. Now I'm alive. He's telling the story. Everyone wants to know. All the people are coming there. They wanted to hear it. And it says, they're reclining at the table with Yeshua. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Yeshua, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. A year's salary expense. Mary, yeah, I mean, you could rebuke her for whatever. Yeshua says, don't rebuke her, but this is special. She's anointed my feet for my burial. We see this family again, also in Luke chapter 10. Now, as they were traveling along, he came to a village, and a woman whose name was Martha, that's the same Martha and Mary, just telling where this all took place, who this family was. By the way, if you're in Jerusalem, right over the hill of the Mount of Olives, there's the two towns of Bethany and Bethpage. They're there. Bethany was about 2 miles off. And so they had a lot of contact in Jerusalem. They went back and forth. Yeshua spent time in their house. And now we see at one point when it says he entered into the village, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. But she had a sister called Mary who was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Just giving you a background to the family. Lazarus loved the Lord loved them. Mary sitting at the feet. Special dinner coming. Some of you have had hospitality. You invite people over. You're worried about all the details. Martha was one of those. Martha had to have the special meal, special appetizers, special dishes, clean the house. Martha took care of business. Mary, sitting there. Martha's upset. My sister, why don't you tell her to do something, Lord? And this is, okay, listening to the word. Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care? It's amazing just to think about it. How can you ever say to the Lord, do you not care? It's amazing when you think about that. But don't you care, Lord, that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Normal request. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, 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 Martha. You're worried about and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The one thing that is necessary, focusing on Yeshua. Jehoshaphat, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are focused on you. That's the most important thing. Mary chose the good part to follow the Lord. This was a godly, spiritual family. They were friends. The point is, suffering comes to all. Those who are spiritual, those who are not. It is a normal habit. Your suffering is normal. We follow along. John chapter 11. But when Yeshua heard this, after he was at their house, he heard that he was sick. They were not there. Back to the story. Okay, Yeshua and his disciples are somewhere else. People came. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, the family you love, you care so much. Your man, Lazarus, he's sick. So when Yeshua heard this, I imagine he said, let's go. Chapter 11, verse 4. When Yeshua heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death. As you read the passage, as you get a feel, I almost feel like he's saying, "This is it's not gloomy and death and sadness and misery, but the sickness, because normal sickness we think about, we worry, we pray, we're gloomy, we're depressed. The Lord says, no, no. This is for the glory of God. He had a different thing in mind. He knew what he was going to do. Yeshua is in control. Even when we have everything falling apart, where there is no answers for us, and we're in total despair, he said, do not despair. Do not be gloomy, sad, death. The death has meaning. Everything has meaning here. And he's going on to say, but the death is for the glory of God. Two purposes here, he said. He will die, but it's for the glory of God. And we have to realize that as we go through life. Life has meaning. Things that don't appear to have meanings, just for random, it has meaning, and God is in control. And so God is telling him this has meaning. First of all, it's going to be the glory of God. Second of all, it says that, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. So we see life is meaning. There's purpose with God. God's glory is going to be revealed here. Not only that, but Yeshua, in the passage, we only know because John's telling us, but Yeshua and John, they have a purpose for this too. And you all know the purpose, don't you? Shake your heads. John chapter 20, what's the purpose? To prove. Right on, very good. Okay, I like those answers. Okay, to prove Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you might have life in his name. There is a purpose here that Yeshua is the Messiah. Everything in the book revolves around believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have his life in his name. This is one of the seven. And I want you to always think, when you think of John, you think of the purpose of the book, and you think of the book, seven miracles. This is one of the seven. The first miracle, we're all familiar, you should be familiar with the first miracle, that's the wedding in Cana. And Yeshua changed the water into wine. John picks each miracle on purpose. John picks each miracle to prove everyone that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, believing you might have life in his name. John picks these miracles. And so the wedding at Cana, that was to reveal something. I'm not sure if they knew, but when you refer to water and wine, water, maybe they thought back to Moses. But this is only to confirm God's prophet. All the miracles that he writes, there's many, but he's purposely writing just these few. The second miracle, when you think about the miracles of John, you think about the nobleman's son, which is far, I think it's in John chapter 4, when they say, nobleman's son, come to my house, heal my son. And John is picking and choosing what he wants. So many miracles, he's picking just a few to prove. And not only does he always pick just a few miracles, he always, almost always, makes it clear what day of the week Yeshua is doing it. And that is? Very good. Okay, bring out some more coffee. We need some help here. Okay. He always tells him, it's on the Sabbath. He purposely, John always throws that in to show that he is in control of the Sabbath. He is not breaking the Sabbath. He is breaking the Jewish leaders' view of the Sabbath. Yeshua made the Sabbath. He made the rules. He's not breaking them. And so John is picking the miracle. Second miracle, he's healing a nobleman's son. They come to my village, heal my son. Yeshua says, it's done. Done. Just show, he can heal from a distance. Miracles, constantly doing. Next miracle we see, we go to the pools of Bethesda. And they're all around there. And there's a man there. The man there paralyzed. Can't walk. But I like the way John's commentary that John says there. How long was the man in that condition? Does anyone know here? 38 years. I always love when I read that, because when I've torn ligaments, broke some bones, and the doctors always, they heal it, they put it in a splint or whatever it is for the ligaments, and the doctors have told me the idea of the splint is to let it heal and get the splint off as quickly as possible. And I remember saying to the doctor once, why? He says, let me tell you, if your finger, it was for 3 weeks, if your finger stays in that splint, for 3 months, you'll never use your finger again. Your body, your bones, your joints, you'll never use it again. Here, a man in the condition, 38 years. You think John is trying to tell us something? The miracle is unusual. It's all to prove who Yeshua is. He's picking and choosing, knowing his crowd, knowing the people. I got the wine, the nobleman, the pools of Bethesda, walking on the water. Yeshua walking on it, controlling all the elements. Water is no problem for Yeshua to walk on. Feeding of the 5,000. Now, I'm sure that goes back to Moses giving manna to all the people. Probably goes back to Elijah feeding a certain woman in Zarephath, I think it was. Goes back to Elisha, giving bread for another woman in jars. And to try to show that Yeshua is just like the prophet. That's what they always say. Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. Miracles. Then the last two that I always love, of course, that we saw, the blind man. What was John's commentary about the blind man, folks? And what? Come on, there's something special about this blind man. You have to help me here. No? Okay. From birth. It's never been heard of that someone blind from birth could see. All of a sudden, Yeshua, in a sense, had to create new eyes for him. I know he used the clay and the spittle and made that, but Yeshua had to create new eyes. John is saying, never been heard of that someone born blind could see. And then he says, it was the Sabbath, folks. It's always the Sabbath. He challenges people. Yeshua says and does the things that will actually challenge the people. That's one of the things my wife and I always debate. She says, you confront, you make problems. He says, you got to be easier and softer. You don't need to say that. I said, yes, I do need to say that. Maybe there's a balance, but, you know, we're working on it. Just 51 years. We're trying. We're working here. Then finally, of course, the seventh of the miracles is Lazarus. And we're going to see more about this in the weeks to come. But the Lord's going to raise Lazarus from the grave. Impossible situations. But problems come to everybody. Why? To prove Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. And if you believe, you might have life in his name. Here's Lazarus, who was dead, as we're going to see in the weeks to come. He wasn't dead, just dead. He wasn't dead just one day, folks. But John always puts his little commentary in. How long was he dead? 4 days. Why do you have to put four, John? Because Jewish thinking was 3 days, you're mostly dead. Okay? You know what mostly dead is. You know, you've seen the movie, okay? Mostly dead doesn't mean you're all dead. 4 days meant you're all dead. And so he'd been dead 4 days. In other words, he'd be decaying and you can't raise him up. Impossible. Problems come to everybody. John 11:5. Now, Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yeshua's loved ones, friends, servants, children, families, no one is exempt. There's no exceptions. We are called, all of us, to trust and believe. Not question God. God is, what's the word, folks? Sovereign. And you all know, because you're biblically literate, all of you, you know what the word sovereign means. That means God does. Without checking with you. God does what he wants, when he wants, the way he wants, without checking with us. God can do it. We are not there. We do. We're human. We question. We question why, how, when will I be delivered? We're never called to question. We're called to believe and trust. It's hard. That's what God wants. Job was not to question God. He was to realize God was in control. And we could trust God. We can believe in him. We are called, you write it down here, we are called to one first, trust and believe, and we are called to, good, obey and serve. Not question. We are human. Lord, why? How long? How much do I have to suffer? Lord, you don't know what you're doing. You're pushing me to the brink here, Lord. God knows what he's doing. It's not for us. And that's a hard message for us as humans. The Lord knows that. That's why he tries to speak to us through different things. But God, we can trust him. We can believe in him. And because of that, we choose to serve and obey him. Now, I always tell people many times, with God, I play the martyr role with God. I'm Jewish. That's what we do. So things go wrong. Things get dry. I'm not enjoying the word of God. It's not speaking to me as much as normal. I'm going through Chronicles, and I'm going through the second half of Exodus, and I'm going through leprosy laws. I'm going through all that. And I tell the Lord, Lord, this is dry. This is dry. I'm not feeling good. I'm having a rough time of it. But I will continue to serve you, Lord, even if you want me miserable and sad and don't want to talk to me, don't want to speak to me, I will still serve you. I play the martyr role, but I will continue to be faithful. That's what God asks us to do, to be faithful, to obey and serve him. Our lives fill it in. Our lives are filled with problems. And I said, not only them, but difficulties and crises arise in all our lives. There's no exceptions throughout the scriptures. And I started with Abraham. Abraham, when I went through the difficulties. Abraham, we first were introduced with him, really in chapter 12, although it was mentioned in chapter 11. Abraham is called by God, his special person. God knew his heart. God knew he was going to do something with Abraham. So he calls Abraham, and Abraham comes in with his nephew Lot. And right away, there's troubles. There's always troubles with Lot, although the Bible says he was a righteous man. In chapter 11, Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were having trouble. And Abraham says to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me. Let there be no strife between your people and my people, for we are brothers. Abraham had troubles right at the beginning. In chapter 14, the kings of the nations came and invaded the land. And who did they capture? Lot. And they take Lot, and so Abraham has to go battle. It's called the chapter of the kings of the Middle East. The kings came against Abraham. Abraham went with his family and his people and went, defeated them, and brings back Lot. Abraham's had many troubles throughout his life because God's people have struggles and temptations and trials and difficulties. Chapter 16, no children. So Abraham's wife helped me. I didn't say bad about it. His wife said, well, we need a child, so I can't have children. Let's go to Hagar. Anyway, more trouble. Chapter 18 and 19, Lot is in trouble again. He's in Sodom and Gomorrah, and sure enough, Abraham has to pray and deliver him. Abraham had many troubles. In chapters 20 and 21, there's a famine in the land. Abraham lies about his wife. He has troubles with the Philistines. He has trouble with with Abimelech. Abraham has troubles because God's people have troubles. And after these things, God tested Abraham. All of God's children, his favorite ones. Jacob, he had troubles. Jacob had trouble with Laban, his brother-in-law. Jacob had trouble with his brother, Esau. Troubles. There's never escape from this. Joseph, special one, unique by his father, unique, called by God, served God, seemed to be faithful all along at a young age. What happens? He gets sold down to Egypt. He's just busy helping his father and doing what's right. Then he gets down to Egypt and he's doing good and he's accused and they lie against him. Then he's thrown in jail. God, in God's way, in God's time. How long was Joseph in jail there, folks? How long was he in trouble? Do you know? Anybody? How many? 20? Good guess. That's good. It seems like he was about 17 when he started, and when he was lifted up, he was 30. About 13 years. 13 years. But he was faithful, and he was faithful to God. God's people have trouble. Probably it seemed in the time of Job that he was the most righteous man, like Moses. At one point, Moses was the righteous man on the face of the earth. Job was a righteous and godly man, one of the most righteous in the whole area. And everything happened. Everything. I mean, we can't make light of Job's troubles because I can't imagine going through that. Probably many people would just kill themselves to lose your children, your land, your cattle, lose everything. Then your health. Because if you have your health, you have everything. No, I was quoting. Anyway, you have to see that movie. But Job, he lost everything. And yet, God valued him and loved him because troubles come to all of us. Isaiah the prophet, the prince of all the prophets, Isaiah, he was so great, spoke for God, saw the glory of God, probably saw Yeshua in a vision. There's none greater than Isaiah. God would have his good hand and protect Isaiah, wouldn't he? Tradition tells us he was placed in a hollow tree, and the king of Israel, Manasseh, sawed him in half. There's troubles, folks. Yeah, there's troubles. Jeremiah put in the mud and the muck, and the mire of these cisterns. Jeremiah suffered greatly. And then, of course, there's my favorites, Daniel. How much more faithful can you be than Daniel? I mean, you had to have God's hand on Daniel, protecting him. And I can't conceive of being thrown into the pit with vicious, hungry lions. Can't imagine that. I always like to say, can you imagine being down there and then the lions looking at you? They didn't call, anyway. The lions sniffing. I feel like saying to Dan, did they lick you? Can't imagine. Troubles come to God's people. Here's three boys. You know their names. Hananiah. Azariah. Mishael, right? Who are they? You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But one of you corrected me. Why do you want to use their pagan names? Use their good Jewish names. That's their Jewish name. They were good spiritual gods. Their pagan names meant false gods and things. So they had the three good boys serving God. Wouldn't bow down to the giant idol. Wouldn't bow down to the statue. So they were put in a little sauna. Actually, it was a big sauna. Actually, it was pretty hot. They had troubles. And then, can you imagine? The king gave him an opportunity. all right, guys, you know, I'll give you another chance. Nobody gets another chance. You get another chance. We're going to play the music again. When the music plays, you bow down. All's forgiven. Everyone is happy. Their enemies will probably be upset. I'll give you another chance. Oh, king, we don't have to answer you concerning this. I mean, they had troubles. I don't know how long that period was. But they refused to bow down because they trusted. They believed. But they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, even if we have to go into the furnace, we will obey and serve, or we will not bow down to your idols. Because troubles come to all of us. And I know your problems. You don't know my problems, Larry. Yes, I do. You have financial woes. We've all been through it. Next week, I will be 77. I've been through most of your problems. Financial woes, I've been there. Sicknesses, fears. Listen, the cancer scare, the other sicknesses that you might have, provisions, no home, children. That's all I need to say about children. We all have the same problem. They're common. Jobs, spouses, peace. There's problems. Listen carefully. No exceptions. No exceptions. No exemptions. We all have the troubles. His family, friends, all of us, we go through it. Follow along. Yeshua is in control. Don't worry, I'm not finishing today. You know that, okay? It'd be good to just get through point two, but that's okay. Your family, and I can do that. If I was in seminary, I'd be punished. I'd be demoted for not, but that's okay. I like to have fun with my family. Point two, we all have troubles, point one. Point two, Yeshua is in control, and he provides, and he knows your needs and your problems. Well, Lord, I'd like you to reveal it to me and tell me when you're going to deliver me. He will not deliver you. He won't tell you when or how or anything. He wants you to, everyone, trust, believe, obey, and serve. Write him down. That's what he wants. He has the power. He knows your need. Yeshua knows our needs and our problems. There are no surprises with the Lord. To us, yes, not to him. There's no obstacles. All of God, he has a plan for us, God's will. Follow along with me. John 11:6. So when he heard that he was sick, Yeshua, they came and tell Yeshua, Lazarus, the one you love, is sick with his sisters, Mary and Martha. They're sick. You love them so much. You got to quick come to them and heal them. So when he heard he was sick, I love the way John says this. He stayed another 2 days longer. John, is something wrong with you? Why would you write this? They're sick, and Yeshua was purposely delaying. He stays two days longer in the place where he was because God has a plan. It's not your plan. God has a time, not your time. God knows what his will is. It's to prove that he's in control. It's to prove, and that's why John's writing, to show that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, but also to show God's in control at all times. His will is different than yours. His plan is different than yours. His plan is good, right, and it's safe. It is safe and good to be in the will of God. The question is, how do I get in that will of God? I'm going to probably summarize here a little bit. But anyway, how do you get to know you're in the will of God? I was just at a rabbi's conference down in Florida, and the young people were asking a couple of senior, I'm a senior now, a couple of the senior rabbis about being in God's will. What mistakes did you make? And I thought back to that, and I said, no, I am exactly, mistakes, yes, made them all along the way. So did these other leaders. But we're exactly in the place where God wants us, which is good. It's good and to be in the will of God. I know that after all these years, I am where God wants me. God wants me this Saturday morning right here doing this. That's nice. That's safe. That brings me peace. And you say, well, how can I know that? Well, I tell you, and this is how you can know you're always in the will of God. First, make sure, no matter what, you're always reading the Word of God every day. Come on now, give me some real helpful ways to know I'm in God's will. Here it is. You know you're in God's will first when you're reading the Word of God every single day. As Larry says, make sure it's in the morning. I don't care. You read it every single day. Second, how do I know I'm in the will of God? How do I know I'm where God wants me today? Because you read every day. Second, you talk to Him about your life and your problems. Every day, every day. To me, it's more important than eating. Man will not live on bread alone. Tastes good, but by the will of God, everything that comes out of God's mouth. We read, we pray. Make sure you're doing that every day. Then you obey what He tells you to do. Write them down. Read, no exceptions. Don't, you can't get around. You can't go to point two without doing point one. You have to read. Second, you got to pray. Third, you got to make sure you're obeying whatever He has told you to do. Don't make light, I'll do those. Obey what God tells you to do. Four, I think, saying the will of God, you make sure you worship with God's people. Now, I've been through quickly those four things. They're the basis. There's your foundation, folks. If you're reading every day, if you're praying, if you're obeying what He's told you to do, you know that, because He won't tell you everything, but He'll tell you what you need to do, obey Him. Then you're worshiping with God's people. Then God will work first that. Then God will open and close doors for you. You say, well, how do I know the door that's open or closed is from God? Because, foundation, folks, what is you're reading, you're praying, you're obeying, you're worshiping. Then you can trust God to open and close doors. He doesn't want to make His will impossible. He wants you to know His will, but He wants you doing reading, praying, obeying, and worshiping. Then God will open and close doors, and you can trust. Lord, you're opening. If you don't have God to trust, then there's no one we can trust. So then He'll open and close doors. Next, was it 4, 5, 6? Then God will give you common sense. Now, this is a tough one because a lot of people say, how do I know the sense that I have is God's common sense and not my God's insight? Because you know common sense, if you're reading, praying, obeying, worshiping, then you can trust that maybe God's going to put some sense into our heads. Then you can trust God. Otherwise, I don't know if I could trust my own sense. So you're doing all that, and you have open and closed doors. Then you have common sense. Then you're meeting and counseling with a few spiritual, godly people. Some people that you agree with, some that you don't agree with. And I believe if you read, you pray, and you obey, and you worship, and you look at the open and closed doors, and you look at the common sense, and then you advise, you get your advice from a couple spiritual men or women, some who agree with you, some with you, then you will hear the still, small voice of God. And you'll be able to say, at the end of your life, I am in the center of God's will. God will place you in the center of His will as you walk with Him. Will you make mistakes along the way? Sure. Will you get out of line? Of course. But I can trust and believe God does not want to make it impossible. It's not a trick. It's not a game with God. He wants you to be in His will. He wants you to feel the place of safety. He wants you to be assured of that and have confidence in Him. How do I know I'm in the will of God? But you do, I believe, if you do those things. So we follow along with me in John chapter 11. So when he stayed there another 2 days in that place. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. Probably not the wisest thing to do. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jewish people were just now seeking to stone you. And are we going to go there again? There is death in Jerusalem. There is death there. Let's not go there. And then Yeshua answers them in John chapter 11, verse 9. Yeshua answered, are there not 12 days, 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. I believe Yeshua is using an outward reality to speak of a spiritual truth. And I think he's saying, as you walk with God, you see the light of God, and He will guide and direct you. And I believe he says, but if anyone walks in the darkness, turns away from God, is not walking with God, you stumble because the light is not in him. I think God is using this, Yeshua is using, as a spiritual illustration. Walk in the light of what God has told you to do. We're doing God's will. It's safe and good. Then he goes to the reality of Lazarus. And he says, this he said, and after he said this to them, he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I might awaken him out of the sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, they thought he was just talking about rest and sleep. He says, he'll recover. Now, Yeshua spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of his sleep. So Yeshua said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad that I was not there, for your sake that I was not there, so that you may know and believe, let us go there now. Yeshua was trying to tell them, I'm in control. I'm in control. It's my plan, my will, my timing. And John is telling us, just like Yeshua, that he's there to prove that Yeshua is who he says he was, the Messiah, that he's the Son of God. He had a purpose in all this. And then Thomas said, therefore, Thomas says, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Thomas is known for doubting, but he should be known for his loyalty, his trust, and belief. He's willing to go to Jerusalem to die. They knew his power. They knew his strength. They knew Yeshua was in control. And they knew they could trust him. We do too. We know it. We've seen it in our lives. We see it in the scriptures. I believe they had some inkling, some idea of who he was. They had to know, walking with him, seeing the miracles. They had Matthew chapter 8. When Yeshua got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves. Yeshua himself was asleep. I can't imagine doing that. But on the Sea of Galilee, in the boat, the storm, the waves coming over, and Yeshua was sleeping. That's what I might call the picture of perfect peace. He had peace. He knew he was in the will of God. He knew what his purpose and plan was. The men did not. They saw fear. And they were fearful, and they saw problems. They saw they were going to die. Yeshua himself was asleep. They came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Every time I read that, I said, well, Lord, let me tell you why I'm afraid. I see some big waves here, and I see we're going under, and I'm going. It's over. And, you know, it's almost like the Lord is saying, yeah, we're going to all face death, face troubles. Faced a lot of problems, a lot of struggles. Are we willing to say he's in control? I trust him. I believe. I'm going to do what I can, but I'm going to serve and obey him, even though I might face death. As the three boys said, and even if he does not, Daniel went into the face of the lions. I'm going to have troubles. Am I willing to trust and believe? So Yeshua calmed the sea as he does in our lives, and it delivers us. And it says, then he got up, he rebuked the wind and the sea, became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is, who is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. I don't know if they knew, one of my favorite songs that we sing, I don't know if they knew or struck their mind or not, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who is this man? Proverbs 34 answers the question. Chapter 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered all the winds in his fist? Only God. Who has wrapped the waters in a garment? All the waters. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, or what is his son's name? Surely you know. Yeshua knows the struggles we're going through, the problems, temptations, difficulties, the crises. I'm never going to make light of it. Lord, please deliver, help. We're going through it. The Lord says, look at me. My eyes are focused on you. Trust, believe, obey, worship. Father God, we thank you for who you are, for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a different life, a better heritage. Lord, it involves trouble. It involves problems. It includes difficulties, crises. Help me, Lord, in my unbelief. Yes, deliver me in your way, your time, your plans, your will, not mine. Because you're sovereign. And I know we could love you. We can trust you. We can believe in you. Until then, Lord, help me to worship, obey, and serve you. For we ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.